All right, welcome to a on-the-road edition of Theologicus. Let's go. This is Joseph Louthan. This is Theologicus. I hope the audio is not sounding too different, but as you can see from my face, I am not in the same place that I usually record from. I am on the road. But the stream is going to continue on. And to be honest, I'm in my hotel and it is, man, oh my gosh, the internet is flaky. So if you're watching this on the stream, please know that you do not have to suffer through it. If there's like skipped or skipped audio, skipped frames or anything like that, I'm recording the video and the audio as we speak, and I will have that posted later on tonight. But if you're bearing with us, thank you for stopping by. Today we are going to do, and I cannot talk with both headsets in my ears. It's Tuesday all day long, and we are doing doctrine. We are still in Pray Like This, Forgive Us, Help Us to Forgive. Now, as you can see on my screen, and I hope you're looking at my screen, we have doctrine in James next week, and we finish it up in 1 Chronicles 29. So it will be our first series that we have completed, and we're going to roll into, I think, Order of Salvation right after that. So join us in a few weeks for your whole new series on Tuesdays. So Tuesdays, I just have reserved for just doctrine. And again, remind that doctrine is not a scary word. It is just what the Bible teaches, okay? So let's just get into it. And before we do anything, let's pray. God, help us right now. I'm not even asking for good internet in this moment. I'm asking for your spirit to come and dwell in us, open our eyes and open our ears, renew our minds, and change out our hearts to accept this very, very difficult, hard saying of your son. We're not going to do this without him. We're not going to do this without the Spirit. We're not going to do this without you, Father. So help us. We need you. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Okay. So last week, I made the point of talking about going from provision of God to needing God every single day. It's the God knows what we need before we ask for it. That's what Christ just said. But it's more than that. For us to live, to move, and have our being in him, we're going to need him. We're going to need him in order to live forever, that there's nowhere else that we can go. Now, within all that, we look at this salvation of God, God dwelling in us because of what his son has done. What do we do with that? And I think this is what the Lord's Prayer actually walks us through. It's like, now we get to like, well, what do we do with that? Well, now we get to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. You know what? But that's really easier said than done. But let's just go to the text, right? And right now we're kind of weird split because I'm going to put this all together in Matthew 6. So it's verses 12, 14, and 15 because they're all related together. But there's a missing one, 13. We're going to get to that next week. And there's something that's not in this scripture, but I'm going to bring it up because the correlation between what's in the King James and in 1 Chronicles 29 are one in link. So I'm going to put that on display. Okay. So Matthew 6, starting at verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Matthew 6, let's jump ahead to verse 14. For if you forgive others for their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Okay, so I think this, like, far and wide throughout the entire world, I mean, Christianity is if we're known for nothing else, we're known that we are a forgiving people. So this, you can have heard this teaching so many times in your life that it just becomes like, not that you've come numb to it, But it's just like, yeah. I know, we get it. We're supposed to forgive others. But for those of us who have been hurt by other people, who have been sinned against us by other people, that's easier said than done. And if that type of sin has left you traumatized and has left you like basically left for dead, or where you're just not functioning as a like a full human being, how do you forgive in that? How do you have gathered a strength to forgive that? And you're like, yeah, I know what God said. I know what he says. I know what he commands. It is so difficult, so hard, and I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I remember going all the way back to like I was maybe a few months saved, and I got to lead Bible study one time, and just the impact of like people's sins against me and like knowing how bitterness is just starting to take root in my life. And I taught that Bible study like this is what happens to bitterness. And I didn't put this in the notes or anything, but this is what happens when bitterness starts to seep in into one person and the effect of that on the entire community. And God goes as far as like, if any man has bitterness in his heart, and this is like Deuteronomy, if any man would have bitterness in his heart, it's better to cast him out of the community than for him to continue living among other people and letting that poison other people. Okay. So we know the ill effects, the sinful effects of not forgiving others, but let's just walk through how God forgives and how does that help us to forgive, okay? I'm not here to give really pat answers, but I'm hoping that the Word of God will illuminate and help us and really change our minds and change our hearts in doing this, okay? So forgive us, help us to forgive. How can we forgive? How do we do this, right? Well, God forgives and he saves us, okay? I'm going to go back to, let's do Hebrews 8, starting in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And each person will not teach his fellow citizen and his brother or sister saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins. And that is like a humongous statement from the word go. And like this covenant that we've laid out over and over again, I've repeated in this stream, multiple series over and over again, Ezekiel 36. It is the new covenant that God has set, and he does this through Jesus Christ. But look at what the author of Hebrews adds on. For I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins. So from the word go, God says, and this is God who does not forget anything. He knows all things forever and ever, and he's declaring, I'll never remember your sins ever again. I will forgive your wrongdoings. So from that, how can we forgive? Well, God loves us and he saves us. This is 1 John 4, starting at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And let me pause for just a second. This passage, I want to use the ESV translation instead of the CSB. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God, does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have ever loved God, but he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. And this is the reason why I wanted to use the ESV, because they will use the word propitiation. And all that means is that the right wrath of God that was meant for mankind because of our sins against God, God, Christ, steps into the place of his people and absorbs the wrath of God. He absorbs all the punishment due for his people. This is why we go back. I quote this over and over again, Matthew 1:21. Mary shall bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's not a maybe he'll save, maybe, I don't know, there's going to be some lost people along the way. No, Christ came to save his people from their sins, completely, wholly, and I mean that wholly, and perfectly, okay? How can we forgive? God gives grace upon grace. We get to give grace upon grace. And let's go to Matthew 18. Then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? How many? As many as seven times? And I tell you, just Jesus said, I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. Okay, I have to share the story. So don't be like me and try to take this literal. When I was first saved by God, all of this anger and bitterness came to the surface of all the people who has ever hurt me, like my dad or like my ex-wife or anybody, right? So in my pea-sized brain, I actually thought this and just ready for this. Okay, for everyone who has ever hurt and betrayed me, so let me see, 70 times 7 is 490 times. So if I forgive them once a day for about a year and a season because they have the audacity to continue existing and never saying they're sorry, then after that, I can stop forgiving them. That was a very, very simple and wicked little man. Christ goes on to explain what he actually means by 70 times 7. Don't take it literal. Let's continue on in the passage. Matthew 18, continue on in verse 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. But when he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, everything had to be sold to pay the debt. And at this, the servant fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Then the master of the servant had compassion, released, and forgave him the loan. This is, not to be obvious, but this illustration here is God towards us in our sins. Do you feel that mercy and grace upon your heart? You know that your sins were against a holy and loving God. God could have easily poured his wrath out on you, but instead he thought about you, loved you, and saved you from your sins. Now, when you don't forgive others in the way that God has forgiven you, Christ will go on to illustrate. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, "Pay what you owe." And at this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what he had owed. But when the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant as I'd had mercy on you?" And because he was angry, his master handed him over to jailers to be tortured until he can pay everything he was owed. So also, my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. Here's the next point. How can we forgive? Guess what? We are not God. So let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Joseph, initially left for dead, sold in slavery, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, only to be rescued to save his people from death. That sounds oddly familiar, don't you think? His brothers were so afraid that Joseph, being the now the most powerful person in the land, would take his power and rightfully crush his brothers into smithereens. But let's look how Joseph responds to that. Genesis 50, starting in verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result and the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. Guess what? I will take care of you and your children." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Okay? Here's the last point. How can we forgive? we are not defined and identified by the sins committed against us. Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, became sin for us, who all the Jews and all the Gentiles continuously sinned against him while he was here on earth. In the end, beaten, scorned, abused, spat upon, hung upon a cross, stripped naked, as his body bled out with feces and urine leaked from his body, he was put to open shame among all mankind. But he never not once exacted his rightful wrath on anyone. This is the Son of God, who is God. Look how he responds to beaten and scorned to death. This is in Luke 23, starting in verse 32. Two other criminals who were also led away to be executed with him. And when they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there among the criminals, one on the right and the one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes and cast lots. I remember most of my life, how I would so easily be able to kill my dad with my bare hands because he raped and molested me. And I wanted to kill him because he shamed me and he humiliated me and made me not a whole person. And I spent my entire life hoping to be able to take vengeance into my own hands. I hated my dad. But God, being rich in mercy, saved me. And while he rotted in prison, I reached out to him and I forgave him, because I knew all too well the forgiveness of God for my wickedness and my own sins. Now, here's the thing. Don't confuse forgiveness with trusting. It doesn't mean I had to trust my dad. I wouldn't trust my dad as far as I could throw him. All I needed to do was to forgive him and release him to God. And I got to forgive him and everybody who has ever hurt me, because why? I was no longer defined by their sins against me. If my Christ, my Savior, was not defined by that crucifixion upon the cross, do you understand that? Everything that was ever done to him, he forgave, because they did not know what they were doing. In other words, I was not shame-filled, lust-filled rape victim who became a crippling porn addict. I became a son of God. I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. I'm not saying you can do it immediately. If it takes you days, months, and years to come to forgiveness, man, that's really God's grace upon your life. It took me years. It took me years. I'm not saying like once I was saved and I was auto-forgiving people. No, man, and that wasn't the last time I was hurt. But you just got to, the only way you're going to do this is with the Holy Spirit. You can't do this on your own, just like everything else in life. If you think for a moment that you get to minister to others and love one another, if you can't do that without God, how much more are you going to be able to do that to forgive others without God, right? Just trust in him. Just go and ask. If there's people on your heart right now, if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, but that, you don't know what he did. And I understand, you know, like my situation or, you know, Christ and all that, but it's hard and it's difficult and I can't do it immediately. But what if I forgive and they continue on hurting they continue on hurting me, right? That's where we go to God. That's where we don't trust them, but we get to forgive them. And maybe you need some separation from them, right? Keep some distance. You don't have to return their texts. You don't have to return their calls. You know, there's no easy answers, but just go to God. Ask him, "Father, help me. You have commanded me to forgive others because you have forgiven me." But man, this is so hard, so difficult. So here's my prayer. my love and my life, you have forgiven everything. So help us to forgive others. Amen. And that's today's episode. Pretty short and sweet. Join us tomorrow. I'm still on the road. I might do that from home. I haven't decided yet. We'll figure that out. But join us tomorrow. We're still in gospel meditations. We're still in 1 Timothy. We're about to wrap up that. We're about to wrap up the book, but we are going to go into 2 Timothy and into Titus. So we're not done yet. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and God bless you. Later.